So, Joni, you have, I heard you have 5 kids and how many grandchildren?
5.
5 grandchildren. That's amazing.
Been there, done that.
Yes. Ben as well. What about you?
I've got 2 boys in their teenage years.
Boys. Yeah, wonderful. I wonder, Joni, you know, back in the day when you, you know, first decided to start a family, what did your bosses feel about having so many children?
So for me, you know, it was decided between my husband and myself that we will have a big family. So that was really something that it was our goal. But so I don't know if everybody knows, but, you know, it took us a long time to even have the first pregnancy. And even then, we had to get artificial help, you know, for that. So for the very first time, you know, to have that first pregnancy being successful, I actually left the workplace. I left the workforce, concentrated on having a baby. Or rather, actually, I conceived first and then I left the workplace because it was such a precious pregnancy. And then amazing thing is that the one egg that was successful became 2. And so I had twins, you know, identical twins. And of course, being so precious, I actually left work for a while to have the babies. And when the babies were born, 8 months later, I actually rejoined the workforce.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, you know, the rest was just history. The other 3 kids came naturally and not necessarily with the same employer, but the employers that I had all this time had been very, very supportive. I think it helped that HR directors are women and they themselves being mothers, they are very supportive of their colleagues having children too. So I had no problem. The only thing I want to mention is that, do you know that back in those days, to have twins from one pregnancy is considered as 2 babies born. And so that was back in early 1990s, the third child has no maternity leave allowance. So my third child, who is my second pregnancy, I had to take annual leave in order to stay at home with the baby for a while. So that was really, so right now you having 4 weeks, right? Paid, 4 weeks paid maternity.
Four months.
It's just maternity. Super amazing. Because from my third child onwards, third, fourth and fifth, I had to take personal annual leave.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is, that I can't imagine now going back to the workforce, you know, right after I give birth.
It was then. But having said that, if you're willing to forgo your annual leave, only for the sake of your babies, and of course you would, it was fine. So that's not deterred, and I still went on to have 5 kids.
What an experience. What about you, Ben? What was your experience as a father?
Right. I definitely didn't have maternity, but I, we were entitled during my time to some paternity leave. I can't remember exactly how long. I think it was about 2 weeks. But I took only about a week, 5 working days to spend time with my wife, to help out with the initial stages of the child. And during that time, I guess my wife was extremely tired, breastfeeding and stuff like that. So that 1 week was, I guess, very, very precious, both in terms of help and in terms of bonding.
That's great. And have you heard of the new government regulations of extending, doubling the paternity leave from 2 weeks to 4 weeks?
I have. It's a very, very generous addition. My only concern is, are you able to actually utilize all 4 weeks? You know? And I guess that depends on a lot on the culture of the company, the nature of your work, you know, the size of the company. Because if the reason why I took 5 days or 1 week was because if I were to take 2 weeks or 4 weeks, I'm going to come back with a mountain load of work, and that's not something I want to come back to. Or I probably would have to impose on my colleagues to cover my work. So I think it's the policy is great. I think we need to look at the implementation of it, and I think that's really important. And that's at the company level.
Yes, I think the government is thinking of even having shared leave, you know, and they call it shared parental leave.
Yes.
So you can toggle between paternity, maternity, and then it's shared between the husband and wife. And then you don't have to take it at one go.
That's
you can spread it over the year or 2 years. And I think that is actually a good policy going forward.
Yeah,
yeah. It helps the companies, because as employers, we also worry, right? You know, if you have two guys going off on paternity, it's already really, really a lot of shortage of manpower.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's a good, we're in the right direction.
Yeah. From my experience, I feel that the paternity leave made a lot more impact for me when I had my second child. Right. Because when I had my first child, a lot of the responsibilities, or rather the baby was really dependent on me.
That's true.
And then for the father, it's just supporting where and when he can. I had my second child, you know, my husband could take care of my first child, bring her out, you know, bring her to the playgrounds and stuff while I take care of the infant, the baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. True. I think that really made a difference for
That's really true.
Actually, I think it's true.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah. I feel really thankful and blessed that I am working for an organization that allows me to be very flexible with my time.
Mm.
I remember after coming back from my first maternity leave, and I was only away for 4 months, and I already felt the anxiety.
Mm.
You know, I was like, oh, for the last 4 months, all I thought about was, what time did the baby eat? When did they poo? How many diapers? What time did they sleep? And so that was all I thought about. So coming back into the workforce, just 4 months, you know, having a hiatus of 4 months, I already felt a bit of that, the worry, right?
Yeah.
The stress of, is my brain still working? Can I still, you know, catch up, you know, to where I last left off?
Yeah, I don't think we had the work from home policy then. It's a little bit different. So everybody goes to office to work. But I was also thankful to be under the leadership of a boss who was very understanding of time and family time.
Mm-hmm.
Again, back to culture again. So you really need, you know, to build up a culture, and it's the people that make the difference.
That's right.
I was under the leadership of someone who believed that family time was precious, and don't take that away from work. No, that's work should be it should be balanced. And I'm really impressed of how you're able to compartmentalize your life. Yeah. No, work is work.
Yes,
family is family.
I'm always able to do
that's
that.
Not
still
easy
am.
To do.
I'm a very compartmentalized person.
Yeah, that's great.
It is a decision that you have to make to keep your phone aside, don't open your emails, and then have dinner time.
Yeah, it boils down to trust, I suppose. You know, I think this big word, you know, whoever you entrust your child to, they're gonna do a good job.
Mm.
So trust that that's gonna happen.
Yeah,
yeah. Then that way you can be very productive. You know, just be 100% at work, be very productive, shut down your computer, go home. You know, and then that's all the children's time, your family time, and then only when they go to bed, you know, seriously, work time again. So that's how it is. Well, I was for what, 10, 15 years, I was living like that. Yeah, then it got better when the kids were more grown up. Once in secondary school, I tell you, seriously,
they don't need me.
So basically, it was so much easier the moment.
Yeah.
So that's why my advice always is have your kids close together.
Yeah.
And if you, however many you want, just have them close together.
Yeah.
I had, in those days, I had 5 kids in 6 years.
It's like one.
Literally. So that it's just pop, all done. And then you give birth to them, you look after them, and then they go into the same sort of like stage of their lives at the same time. So when they were all teenagers around the same time, you know.
Yeah.
So the phases were very, very tight and close together. And that really frees us to do many other things.
Before we continue, let's take a moment to hear from our sponsor, DHL Express Singapore. DHL, the world's leading logistics company, is leading the charge towards a more sustainable future. With a goal of achieving net zero emissions by 2050. In Singapore, DHL's Go Green Plus solutions helps businesses to reduce their carbon emissions through the use of sustainable aviation fuel. Derived from renewable sources such as used cooking oil, DHL is also expanding their electric vehicle fleet rapidly to ensure greener last-mile deliveries. Join DHL on their sustainability journey. Learn more at dhl.com/discover/en-sg. Welcome to the podcast series by Great Place to Work, ASEAN and ANZ, Join us as we explore current workplace trends and issues through conversations with industry leaders. Listen to their views and experiences that are shaping our workplaces today.
Welcome to the Great Place to Work podcast. And this is where we have conversations with our guests, leaders from best workplaces, as we explore the multifaceted challenges and opportunities when it comes to building great workplaces. And today, we're going to dive into a topic that resonates with so many of us, the topic around juggling work and personal lives. This balancing act has become a lot more challenging in a fast-paced, digitally connected world. At a national level, the conversation around work-life balance has gained significant traction. First, we have the recent announcement on the tripartite guidelines requiring all employers to fairly consider former FWA requests. At the same time, we have been seeing increasing focus on mental health, and this has become a key focus at the national level. Now, these issues are not just individual concerns, but are critical to the fabric of our workplaces and communities. Today, I'm really happy to have with me guests from Tower Transit who will share with us how Tower Transit as an organization addresses the issue around work life and personal life. So I'd like just first to introduce Dorcas and Glenn. Thank you for joining our show today. Dorcas, would you like to introduce yourself first?
Sure, thanks Evelyn. So I'm Dorcas, I'm the HR Director of Tower Transit Singapore. I have a family, two young children, age 9 and 7. So this topic would be great for me to be able to share with you how it has affected us, as myself as well.
Thank you, Dorcas. Hi, Glenn.
Hi, Evelyn. Thanks for having us on the show. My name is Glenn. I am Director of Communications and Customer Experience at Tower Transit. I've been with the company since one day before we actually were awarded the contract. And I too have a young family. I have two children, 11 and 9. And so Dorcas and I have been beneficiaries of the family-friendly practices that Tower Transit has instituted from day one.
Wow, we'd love to hear your stories. Well, just to be aligned, you know, I'll share about myself. I've got three kids. They are 18, 17, and 9 going on to 10.
Wow.
So, you know, the thing is that you've got challenges when they are young, got challenges when they are in the tweens, and now you've got growing teenagers. It's a whole set of problems. All I say is enjoy this stage, because it's a very different stage when you reach the teenager's phase. Oh, yeah. And I think before we do, I would love to just hear more about Tower Transit. We all know who you are. We see the buses, we ride the buses, we love the green, bright green buses. But if you could just share a little bit about your organization, how big you are, and you know what makes you guys different, right? The first of all, we need to say that Tower Transit, they are the first public transportation agency to be Great Place to Work certified. Mm. What this means is that their employees, from the, you know, those people who sit in the offices, the executives, the corporate services people, down to the bus drivers who ply the roads every single day, it means that they all have a great workplace experience. Mm. I am intrigued. You know, I remember our team cheering when we know that you were Great Place to Work certified, because it's so good to know. It's really one thing to have professional services certified. Mm. It's quite another to know that you have also built a great workplace culture for your people who are on the road every day. So let us hear more about you.
Mm.
So Tower Transit Singapore is about 1,700 strong. So we have all kinds of roles and responsibilities in the organization. The largest workforce that we are seeing here right now is the bus captains, followed by the engineering department who, you know, serve in day in, day out, just to ensure that our buses are well maintained, so that our bus captain can do their job.
What's the percentage of your bus captain as a proportion of the overall workforce?
I think we probably are at about 92%.
Wow, okay, that's a very big. Very big.
That's the largest workforce. Okay. And we have about probably a percent of them is the engineering staff.
Okay.
Yeah, so they are the workers behind the scene that we don't normally see on the roads, but they are the ones that are maintaining the buses every day.
I'm not sure if this is confidential, but can you give us a sense of the age breakdown, the demographic breakdown? How many percentages are Gen Y, the Gen Zs, or the Gen Xs? Just to get a sense of how young, you know, your profile, the makeup.
We are really trying our best to increase the youngest lot.
Yeah.
But in general, just to answer your question, we are seeing about 54% of the population above 50.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and we have an oldest age worker at about 72 this year. Yeah, so we do have the older workforce.
Fairly mature workforce.
Yes, yeah.
But you have a proportion of the Gen Zs, right? Mm.
Yeah, we're trying very hard to attract those that group of people.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, thank you for that. So Glenn, you said that you were there since day one.
Mm.
And well, first of all, it's a feat to be at 92% of your workforce being bus drivers to be Great Place to Work certified, right? So that's one. Number two, I went to your website. You know, I saw words like being inclusive. Mm-hmm. I saw words that you want to have a people first culture.
Mm.
And if I could be very honest with you, I was surprised because by, well, I know I'm called Great Place to Work, but if I be very stereotypical, they weren't phrases that I would expect,
right,
you know, of a transportation company.
Yep.
These are phrases, the people first culture, being inclusive, hiring differently abled individuals to build a culture where people feel that they are all inclusive.
Mm.
Words you'll see in your tech companies, in your MNCs, you know, perhaps in a more white collar profile organization.
Yeah.
But to see that in a company where it's 92% blue collar, this is great. Tell me what's behind this. What's the evolution behind it? Is it evolution or is it something that was off the bat? Is something that the leaders are thinking about already?
Yeah. So Tower Transit hit the roads literally in Singapore around about 2016. I think it was May. And I would say from day one, at inception, there was by design, the intention to make Tower Transit a great place to work.
Why so?
Alas, we've taken, 7-8 years to formally be a great place to work.
It is not usual though. It is not usual for companies off the bat from the get-go say, I want to be a great place to work.
Yeah.
What's behind that?
I think we entered the market with a big challenge, which was to attract as many bus drivers as we possibly could in the shortest amount of time. We were given a 12-month runway to staff our operations. And for us, we needed to differentiate ourselves as an operator. And one of the ways and the key pillar became, that culture, that place, that being a choice employer where people wanted to come to work. And that was always the inspiration to make people feel comfortable, to make people feel proud to be part of Tower Transit. Our tagline is moving people, not buses.
That's right, I remember that.
And so the entire company culture has been built around that line as well.
Mm.
It's all about people, whether it is our passengers, whether it is our staff. Customer experience is as important as staff experience.
Mm.
And so as a result of that, we have invested a lot into culture.
Mm.
I said just now in our little conversation before we started recording that the barometer of a company culture is how staff feel on a Sunday evening.
Totally, yeah.
And we really try to make that Sunday evening feeling a good feeling. We want people to look forward to coming to work the next day. To see their friends, to, you know, have a chat with their managers and not be...
How do you measure that? How do you know that the Sunday night before, there isn't a sinking feeling in the stomach?
Yeah.
How do you measure that?
I think we do staff engagement surveys very often.
Mm.
Every quarter, we do a staff engagement survey and HR...
I would like you to just pause and repeat that. You say you do a staff engagement survey every quarter.
That's right.
With all your people?
Yes.
Including the bus drivers?
That's correct.
This is impressive. Because until today, I'm still having conversations with organizations who insist that they need to do a survey once every 2 years because it's too frequent. So to hear you say that is progressive thinking indeed.
Yeah.
But let me not just interrupt. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's an open-ended component of that survey, which is consists of two questions. One, the question is, what do you like about working for Tower Transit?
Mm.
And the other is, what can we do better?
Mm.
And quite invariably, the people talk about culture as being something they like about Tower Transit. We have a low power distance. Bus captains are happy to walk into our MD's office to share feedback. to ask for help, for example. There is a very friendly and open culture where, you know, people feel like management is accessible. And I think that because we've been so deliberate about shaping that culture, people do feel like the Sunday evening feeling is a positive feeling. So it's partly based on the survey, but also anecdotal.
Yeah, I think besides the formal surveys that we hold, we even have monthly town hall sessions that we go down to the work sites, you know, where bus captains are having their break. And then management will just sit down with them, have a chat with them, you know, find out what's going on. I think all these little things all adds up to find out what's going on really in their daily lives, not just about work, what goes on in their family. And then that's how we try to cater to try and meet the needs of the workforce.
What are the best practices or your strategies that you have to build that sense that I can go to my boss and speak in my open mind?
I think the following up of, you know, so listening, hearing,
following
listening,
up.
Is there's really no point just to listen or understand a problem, but not attending to it. I think it's very important for everyone to be responsive so that then the workforce will want to speak. Because after a while of not attending to their issues, then they don't bother anymore.
I would love to understand in terms of talking about this topic of work-life balance, work-life juggling between work and personal life, what are some policies or practices or programs that Tower Transit has in place to support employees to live a full life, both at work and in their personal capacity?
I think there are several examples that we can talk about slightly later on, but the initiatives that we have in the organization used, in the past, it used to be a very scheduled environment, like bus captains are being scheduled to work for this hour and this hour on this day and this day, and then they have to, you know, show up at work. But times have changed. People are requesting for slightly better timings, lesser working hours and things like that. So what we do is we try and cater to as many needs as required as we can. So we introduce initiatives such as personalized work schemes. Somebody may be happy working a 6-day work week, and somebody else would prefer to go for 4 days or 5-day work week. And all these are just choices available for the workforce to choose from.
This is great, Dorcas, because I've been doing HR, work life, and people consulting for the last 20 over years. In fact, I'm one of the OG in the work-life consulting space, right? And one of the issues that most line managers have when it comes to work-life has always been about the sense of fairness and equity, right? That I find very hard to give to accede to flexible requests, because the very idea of having one staff on 4 day, one staff on 6 day, one staff on 5 day, doesn't sit well with leaders, because they find it that sense is not fair, it's not the same, and therefore it's not equitable. Or how do I manage? It's so difficult to manage when everyone has got so many different schedules. And these are real operational challenges. To hear that you have personalized to that extent is wonderful, but I'm sure our listeners out there will be wondering, wow, operationally, is it really feasible?
I think it is a challenge to begin with. The whole notion of us moving from 6 day to 5 days a couple of years back was already a challenge to start with. But we were determined. We were determined to ensure that group of staff are being taken care of as well. Of course, then there will be a means of giving and taking, because then a 6 day work week person may not be getting as much as a 5 day working employee. So all this will be counseled. We'll have to inform them of, you know, the implications that's involved, and then if they choose to accept it, then okay. So I guess this is something that management and even the operations side of the house will need to be more deliberate on. They have to deliberately make that change. And that change of mindset didn't happen overnight. The management actually had to go through many rounds of, you know, having devil's advocate, playing devil's advocate, even within the table.
Yeah. think this is really helpful as Singapore, as we move in by 1st December, where companies are all required to consider flexible work arrangement requests. And this sense of, oh, very hard to manage, you know, it's always the first reason why bosses say no. But what we are hearing is that indeed it is not easy, but it takes us to be very intentional. It's not going to be smooth going from the get-go. It takes conversations, it takes coaching, it takes understanding that there are trade-offs involved. But you will reap the benefits. That's what I'm hearing from you.
Yeah, you'll definitely reap the benefits because then you'll have happy employees. Having happy employees will then, you know, eliminate that Sunday
sinking.
Yeah, right.
I want to link this back a little bit, Glenn. You're also director of customer experience. How have you seen the impact between the happy employees, the happy to go to work on Monday employees? What's been the impact on customer experience?
Yeah, I think there is definitely an impact. I have to say, we don't actively measure the correlation, but there is a firm belief in the organization that if I take care of my employees, my employees will take care of my customers. And anecdotally, we have seen that the people who are happiest in their jobs are also the most engaged and also you know, the best at what they do. They come in, they are happy to be at work. They go out on the roads and, you know, they get compliments from passengers. And it is just a very positive, it brings a very positive feeling to the work environment. So yeah, we do feel that there is that correlation there.
And even during Chinese New Year?
That's right. Yeah, thanks for that reminder, actually. You will find that actually bus captains are often being given red packets during Chinese New Year.
From the public?
From the passengers.
Oh, that's so sweet.
One of our bus drivers got $900 over Chinese New Year recently.
Wow.
Yeah.
They're not required to give back or to declare, right?
No, this is just something this that the public wanted
as a
to
gesture.
Show.
That's right. Yeah, regular customers.
This is so nice to hear.
Yeah. And so, you know, the we find that the passengers or the workers who are most positive about their jobs are also the people who will report, you know, having these great relationships with their customers.
Yeah. If you could share, we talk about 50% of your people are perhaps the older folks. You've got, of course, those who are Gen Xers and younger. What are some other perhaps policies and programs that you have in place to support the different ones at different life stage?
We do have quite a full range of benefits in Tower Transit. Catering to all sorts of employees, like the younger ones all the way to the older ones. We have different leave schemes as well. Like for example, the elder care for largely for anybody in the workforce, if they have somebody elder to look after, they can take an elder care leave. This is on top of their annual leave entitlements.
So you've got elder care leave, but you've got child care leave as well.
Yes. So it's different. So the child care leave is the one that the government has provided. Yeah. So elder care leave is a stack that you can use on top of any of your other entitlements. So we have that. And to cater to the younger ones, for example, if they wish, or the middle-aged workers, if they wish to, you know, adopt a kid, they also have adoption leave. We have the extended tower care leave as well. You know, we have the usual childcare leave and extended childcare leave that the government provides. So on top of that, we also have sick childcare leave, like beyond the times where you need to meet the teachers, or you need to be at the sports event. If your child is sick, you know, if she has the MC, then we'll take it on as an MC entitlement as well.
So above even childcare leave, you can take your child's MC as your own MC.
Not your own MC.
As in, I can be off. I can be given time off work because my child's on MC.
That's right.
Oh, that's really interesting. That's something I've not heard before.
Yeah, and for younger families who wish to, you know, start a family, our maternity leave is at 26 weeks.
That's above and beyond the 24 weeks.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yes.
What about for the fathers?
The fathers have 1 month, 4 weeks. And
the statutory is 2 weeks, is it? Statutory,
three now.
So you are also above statutory.
Yeah, correct. Then. And then for the maternity leave, statutory is 16 weeks. Mm. We're at 26.
Oh yeah, yeah. So you are 10 weeks above.
Yeah.
Above
the, so that's 6.5 months roundabout of maternity leave.
If I was starting my family, I would really have considered.
I would too.
Yeah, this is very generous.
It is. Yes. Yeah.
It is very, and even for the fathers as well.
Well, I mean, there's the option, 4 weeks is above and beyond.
Yes.
But there is also obviously the option to transfer some of maternity from the mother to the father. And some of our staff have done the same.
Yes, this is really, well, just hearing you share all this helps, makes me feel that this is an organization that cares. I mean, this is the vibe that I get.
Yeah, we try our best.
Yeah.
I like that you say that because care is the first of our corporate values.
Yeah. All right,
and so we really try to walk the talk. If I can just go back to our conversation just now about how we are fostering that culture.
Yeah.
Our boss, our managing director, Winston To, he really sets the tone. Because being at the very top of the organization, he you will see him walking the ground just about every other day. Every other day, he's at the bus interchange. He's interacting with the bus captains. He's asking them how things are. He's gathering feedback. And I think that has really shaped the tone of that organization.
This is amazing. I love to meet this gentleman one day. I hear Winston, the good job, the how he walks around, he listens to the people. And I can almost see the two of you being such leaders as well. I hear there are many programs and benefits. The reality is that in a workforce of 1,700, you have a lot of media managers and frontline managers. The overall vibe and culture of care that you want to permeate through the organization cannot just rest on the shoulders of the couple of you or your policies and practices. It must mean that there must be a degree of consistency, a degree where your MMs, media managers, and your frontline managers also carry the same value, imbibe in the same DNA, and similarly treat and manage the people in the same way.
Right.
That, to me, is where it's difficult.
Yes.
It's easy to copy, to put in place policies and practices. I would say relatively easy to have a boss that cares. Some people may disagree, but easier to get the top man to do that. But what's really difficult is to shepherd and to herd your whole big middle layer, you know, all with their own quirks, personalities, baggages, you know, cultural nuances and all that they have. And to say that, hey, in our organization, we care for our people.
Yeah.
How do you do that? That's where the people will want to know.
I think it has been a journey. It's not like we started off on the same footing for across all the middle managers. I think it was over a long period of time that we have came to where we are today, and there's still ways to get to. I think one thing that we did was, besides preaching about, you know, the care to have, there was also an element of assessment that's been added to everybody's appraisal to include that value. Because besides us wanting to be a people organization, people first organization, we also want to be a value-based organization. So we do have an element of a component that is sitting within our assessment to have that. So that also in part, you know, helped with the entire building of, you know, or educating their managers.
So every employee is assessed based on their alignment to each of our five values. Corporate values.
Okay, so they're assessed. The question therefore is, do you support and equip, especially leaders, to live out those values beyond just assessing them? And if you do, share with us, how do you do that?
I think we are on a new, this new area that we are moving into is to have sessions with the middle managers or even to the executives, sessions such as, you know, lunch with MD, learn and lunch at the same time. All these activities that are being planned for will give these middle managers a chance to learn, besides assessing, because assessing could be a show and tell anyway, but we want it to be internalized. We want everyone to be, at least we wish for everybody to have that in their, in the character or the attitude that they bring to work every day. Yeah, so at least we are seeing that today. But of course, there are still areas of improvement that we are trying to work on every single time. Yeah, I think it's a journey.
Can you share with me what has been the impact of you showing care, listening, doing quarterly surveys, do all these different kind of 4 day, 5 day, 6 day work scheme, you know, creating more work than is necessary, as some people would think. How has it benefited and impacted Tower Transit?
I think it's been showing in our results. We have a certain KPI to meet with the authorities. I think while we can improve more and there's room for improvement, I think it's been positive so far. Of course, there is that whole other area where, because people come and go pretty often in our industry, the training part, the getting them up to speed part, all that in mind, productivity has been improving, especially post-COVID.
What about impact on your let's say talent retention? Any numbers, statistics that you can cite?
Okay, so we were, for the retention part, if I were to give you numbers, percentages would probably be, it used to be 22 in a month, annual, for example.
Annual turnover rates, is it?
The monthly turnover rate.
22%?
22 packs.
22 packs, okay.
1,700.
Okay.
So that, we have half that number.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So I think that whole effort about refocusing back into culture, you know, deliberately having people be more involved, making them happy, has helped in the retention part. Okay. And besides the retention part, the new hires has also been. We used to be attracting like small numbers, probably, you know, 10 in a month. We are looking at about 30 in a month today. That has largely increased too. Really because I think people are hearing about the culture that Tower Transit has. And it's often been cited in our, you know, why do you want to join Tower Transit, you know,
part what did they say? That because of a culture.
Yeah, the culture.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so that has always been has always been one of the reasons and something that we have always been hearing, not just from within the industry but from outside the industry as well.
Maybe I'll have for you on an individual basis, what would you say to that individual and how, some words of wisdom, how they can do better? And Dorcas, if you could close up us, speaking as a HR director, how would you appeal to other HR leaders or CEOs out there about what they can do to help support the workforce, you know, to balance better between work and family?
Work-life divide is not a wall. It is porous.
Okay, this was really deep. Could you please say that for us?
Well, there are times where during the weekend, for example, personally, or let's just take yesterday. For example, it was a public holiday. We had to manage an incident that happened on the roads. As comms director, I've had to deal with the media. I've had to deal with the regulator. I've had to deal with passengers. And it is about finding pockets to do those things while still finding pockets to spend with my family. So when I say it's porous, I mean sometimes you're going to have to be flexible to see that it's not a hard line that I draw. There will be moments where work penetrates here, and that's okay. I'm going to manage that. And then there will be other times where, you know, I'm going to be able to take some time off work. And that, I think that porosity, if that's a word at all, can be managed such that you are able to deal with both family as well as work. When you expect that there is a hard line drawn, the expectations sometimes are not realistic, especially, you know, it depends on what jobs you're in. But for me, I know that as long as there's a bus out on the road, I'm always on standby.
That's right.
And if I see it as, okay, this time around, yesterday in a, during the public holiday, I had to spend 3 hours doing work. I'm going to be able to find other pockets to reclaim some of that. I'm not going to be calculative, but I will be able to reclaim some of that to spend with my family. So I think it's really that, those expectations.
It feels to me that that positive mindset is really important, that mindset around adaptability and feeling that don't not just having a victim mindset.
That's right.
That it is, why am I so sweet? You know, I've got this thing happening to me. But feeling that I can have control. And I can, I'm the master of my own life. That's the message I get from what you just shared. But porosity, I remember that. Thank you for that advice. What about you, Dorcas?
I guess I would say that there isn't a one size fit all. I think as an organization or any organization, there are many policies in place. There are policies to take care of people, and as there are other policies to control, as control measures. But I think it is very important for the organization to be human.
I love that.
Yeah, to listen and also to act on it. Yeah, I think it's really important, even as a HR director or anybody, in fact, to treat everybody as equal. I'm not any different from anybody else. I have the same issues at home like anybody else. So I guess if we bring that in, bring that humanity in, then it would all work out.
I love that your advice is no technical jargon, right? It is not corporate speak, but plain old human to human, people to people.
Yeah.
Treating people as you would want to be treated.
Yes.
Lovely. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, both.
Thank you.
This podcast is brought to you by Great Place to Work, ASEAN and ANZ. At Great Place to Work, we transform workplaces through our unique culture and certification program. We promote a future of work that is inclusive and fulfilling, inspiring organizations to build cultures of trust, collaboration, and engagement. Tune in to our next episode and stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Let's shape truly great workplaces together.